and find his purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for inviting us to be in your presence together with our church family. God, we open our hearts towards you. Please, God, speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Do you remember today's sermon title? What is the sermon title today? Yes, we have the title on the screen. What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? This is not the question just for this, you know, Sunday. We're going to meditate on this question throughout the Lenten season this year. What on earth am I here for? I remember a lecture by Billy Graham 15 years ago. He was, you know, speaking about faith and technology. And he shared with his audience the young people's yearning for the meaning of life. And this is what he said. There is something inside of us that is beyond our understanding. That's the part of us that yearns for God or something more than we find in technology. Your soul is that part of you that yearns for meaning in life and which seeks for something beyond this life. It's the part of you that yearns really for God. I find that young people all over the world are searching for something. They don't know what it is. I speak at many universities and I have many questions and answers, period. Whether it is Cambridge or Harvard or Oxford, I've spoken at all of those universities. They ask me the same questions all the time. Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's life all about? Why am I here? All these questions can be summarized into, what on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? If your children or grandchildren were to ask you the same question, what would your answer be? What on earth am I here for? Think about it. Before we answer the question, I believe there are four crucial things we have to remember. And these are the justification for the answer to the question we have. First, it all starts with God. All the questions we have in and about our lives must start with God, because he is the author of all creation. I remember a few months ago when my Prius was broken, I took it to a mechanic in town, and he said, we don't deal with hybrid car here. You have to take your car to one of the Toyota dealerships around this town. Okay? When we have a problem with our car, if we try to fix the car rightly, then we have to take it to our dealership. Because the dealership is the author of the creation of my car. So all the questions we have in our lives, about our lives, to find the right answers, we have to go back to our Creator, our God. Let me quote Rick Warren about this. You cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your Creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. Bertrand Russell was a British mathematician, philosopher, and atheist. However, even he said this, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. This is what, you know, Thomas Edison said. When you see everything that happens in the world of science and in the workings of the universe, you cannot deny that there is a captain on the bridge. Let me read another scripture from Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I usually quote this scripture whenever I lead funeral services, because it explains to us about our destiny, about our life, our journey in life in God. What does that mean, from him? It means God is the source of all things. Through him, it means he is the means of all things. To him, it means he is the aim and the purpose of all things in creation, in history, and in salvation. And the goal of our lives is to bring glory to our Creator, to our God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Secondly, the Bible is the God's special revelation to his people. It means when we try to the meaning of our life, when we try to find the purposes of our life from God, we have to go back to the Bible. Because the Bible itself is God's special revelation to his people. Near the end of his life, John Wesley wrote of how he had loved and believed the scriptures from his earliest days. He said, "From a child, I was taught to love and reverence the scripture, the oracles of God." From a child. This devotion to scripture as the word of God characterized Wesley's entire life and his practice. At the Holy Club in Oxford, as you might remember, there were four people got together, and they always try to, you know, study the word of God together. And then they pray for, you know, one another. And then they made a plan to visit orphans and prisons. Because they were really into the scripture itself, they got nicknames. Bible bigot. And also Bible moth. That has to be our identity. Bible bigot and Bible moth. And when I, you know, shared this, you know, nickname with my, you know, daughter Rachel, she said, "Dad, don't use the word, you know, bigot. That sounds not right." So, but still, it was their nickname at the time. Bible bigot and Bible moth. Because they were really serious to be guided by the scripture. And they were really homo unius livri, which means, you know, a man of one book. Have you ever heard this Latin phrase before? That is what John, that is the, you know, description of John Wesley's life. He was a man of one book, which was the Bible. It doesn't mean he didn't read any other books. He really read books about, you know, philosophy, history, and theology, and church, you know, Also, he was really into healthy situation. So whenever he visited people, he sometimes bring prescription. Why don't you try this kind of medication? Why don't you, you know, try this kind of, you know, PA? And then you will be much, much better. Because some of his family members were medical doctors. So he read even medical books and books about, you know, travel. He was a wonderful traveler, even though he was really busy. If he preached at Midland, he tried to arrive here maybe 3 hours, 4 hours before so that he can just look around the Midland. He was really into everything. But all of his readings was to try to, you know, understand the Bible, the scripture, much, much better. That is why he was called Homo Unius Livri, which means a man of one book. So nowadays, the scholars, they are really, really confused about which words are really originally from John Wesley and which words are originally from the Bible, because he mixed his own words with the, you know, scripture. So he was a real man of one book. In the Bible, we can find the purposes of our lives from God. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, be assured of God's love for all of us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. It means you don't have to worry about the purposes God has for us. Because if we have purposes from God for our lives, then they are all from God's love. That is why we have this scripture. And let me quote, you know, again, Rick Warren. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. It means, even Apostle Paul himself, he tried to understand the meaning of God's love in his life. Because God's love is so vast, so big, so huge, there is always room for us to understand God's love much, much better. That is why Apostle Paul prayed for his churches. I want you guys to understand the meaning of the love we have. I want you to have that kind of power to understand the love of God in your lives, because we have always room for us to understand the love of God in our lives. I hope this can be your and my prayer all the time. God, your love is beyond our understanding, but I want to understand your love more clearly so that I can participate in your love and so that I can share your love with the people around us. That has to be our prayer all the time. So don't be afraid. When God set the purposes of our lives, that they came from only from God's love for all of us. God never does anything accidentally, and he never makes mistakes. He has a reason for everything he creates. Every plant and every animal was planned by God, and every person was designed with a purpose in mind. God's motive for creating you was his love. Yes, the motivation of God's purposes for our lives is God's love. That's why we have Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prepare to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Last but not least, be aware that you are always in spiritual warfare as you try to live up to your purposes from God. The spiritual warfare is real. When we try to live up to God's purposes for our lives, Satan cannot stand that. So we have to be ready for this spiritual warfare when we try to live up to the purposes that we have from God. Peter Wagner said, after leading the church growth movement in the United States and the world, he was a guru when it comes to church growth movement in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I took his last class at the seminary, and then he just, you know, quit his job at the seminary, and he was ready to go to Colorado to focus on spiritual warfare movement. And I remember, because he was the reason why I came to the seminary at the time, and I asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Colorado. You are the reason why I am here. And he said, just follow me. And I said, I remember that. I don't have any money to go there. I really said that at the time. After leading church growth movement in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, this is what he said. It is his conclusion. The real thing we have to focus on is not the church growth. He said, Christian life is all about spiritual warfare. He didn't emphasize the importance of all the principles of church growth. He said, the things we have to focus on is spiritual warfare. And he said, many Christians, they do not realize how powerful they are when they use the name of Jesus Christ. They have power because they have the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to exercise the name of Jesus Christ to reveal the power of God to the people who need it. Even though Bertrand Russell was not a religious man, he said, it's in our hearts that evil lies, and it's from our hearts that it must be plucked out. Even though he is an atheist, he is the one many Christians love. Albert Einstein didn't have a doctor's degree because he said that nobody was qualified to give him one. But he made this statement: it's easier to denature plutonium than to denature the evil spirit of man. Even though he was a scientist, he could sense that the work of the evil spirit on the lives of many people. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. That is why Jesus Christ taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Please know that we are always in spiritual warfare against our enemies, fallen angels, and Satan, as we endeavor to live out our purposes from God. Let me summarize my sermon today. All the questions we have in and about our lives must start with God. The Bible is God's special revelation to His people, so we can find our purposes in the Scripture. Be assured of God's love for all of us. When God gives us our life purposes, they are all coming from God's love. And remember, we are in spiritual warfare as we try to live up to our purposes from God. We have to engage in spiritual warfare. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for inviting us to study, you know, together during this Lenten season. God, please help us to enjoy your blessing for our congregation. God, help us to find the answers about the purpose of our lives together. And also, God, when you get together this Wednesday, help us to experience your presence among us as we try to study your word, Lord. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to sing our song that we're going to close with today. Please join me and stand as we sing.
Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you power and strength so that you can live up to the purposes from God for your life. Now, go in peace. Amen.